Be sure to subscribe to the Front Row Knowles podcast and follow at Front Row Knowles on Twitter. Now back to at underscore Tom Block and Twitterless Keith Jones. Yes, you heard us right, in the Prime Meridian Bank Studios.
Welcome back to Front Row Knowles. Tom and KJ with you. We'll bounce back to football here in a little bit, but we're going to move over to the Florida State volleyball program, which is, I think, exceeding expectations for a young team thus far. They're 14-5 overall, 7-3 in the league, and we're joined by one of the young stars, Emery Dupes, who's on the Earl Bacon Agency hotline. Hey, Emery, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Now, I'm going to start. So your position, it's spelled L-I-B-E-R-O. And for people who follow volleyball, they're very familiar with this. I've called plenty of volleyball matches, and I remember when they introduced this position, but I still don't know, do we say libero or libero? And you play the position, so I'm hoping you can shed some light on this for us.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a controversial topic that I've heard. I've actually always called it libero, but I think that's more of like a younger generation term. I think that like all of my older coaches, they always call it libero. So I think that's the right term per se.
Well, you definitely identified our generation. Keith and I are the older generation. So thanks for hitting the nail on the head there, Emery. Go ahead, KJ.
I was just going to say, the only thing I do is my oldest granddaughter, Emery, plays volleyball. She's in middle school, and the only thing she's excited about is getting to the level where at least one of them has a different colored jersey on. That's her goal right now.
Yeah,
as she moves up the ranks.
Well, that's awesome.
More than how we pronounce it, why don't you explain, and Keith just identify that you wear a different colored jersey. What is your role as a libero or libero, tomato, tomato?
So the term libero is technically the best defender on the team. I am the person in the different colored jersey, and I am defending the back row, trying to keep the ball up. So to give my team a chance to be able to put the ball down on the other side of the net, I'm just the defense side of volleyball, and I can't hit the ball. But that's pretty much it. Yeah.
So you're digging balls out of the back row, not attacking the net. What do you like about how this team has played thus far? I know it's a young team. You just came off, another two matches, two victories on the road this past weekend. So you guys have been playing well.
Yeah, I think we've been playing really well. I think we've had to overcome a little bit of adversity. We're a younger team and we're a smaller team this season, but I don't think that defines us at all. I think we've played really well together and we've developed our connection from the first game till now. And I think it just continues to grow, and the way we play together continues to get better. We have a lot of talented players on the team, and I think we have played well together pretty much so far till now. And I think that if we continue to grow how we are, I think we'll do really well in the rest of the season too.
Emery, by my count, you come into Florida State as probably one of the more decorated high school players. I would remind our listeners of some things that go into your accolades. 1,006 career digs at Walton High School. The one thing that jumped out at me, I don't want to bring up bad things, but by my account, you were state champion as a freshman and then repeated as a sophomore and then repeated as a junior and then went undefeated. And you finished your career with about 138 wins, but only one loss. And that happened to be in the finals of your 138 wins and one loss in a 4-year career. How in the world does that happen?
Yeah. I mean, Walton was some of the best volleyball that I've played when I first came in as a freshman, and I was starting as libero for Walton as a freshman. We were the number one team in the nation at the time, and we had every person on the team committed to big schools like Ohio State and all of these top brand schools for volleyball. And the coach, Suzanne Fitzgerald, she's one of the best coaches that I've had so far. And she really just worked us as hard as we could. But when we got on the court, we knew that every practice that we were sweating and running for hours and hours, we knew that when we got on the court that we worked our hardest and we had everything in our toolbox to use for the game. It was all provided for us. And when I got to my senior year, we had to face a little bit of adversity. We had lost a huge senior class and eight players left, and it was, I think it was five starters left. So we had to face that and we had to get through that. I think we had a great season leading up to the state finals, but in that last game, it was a tough match for us. We were facing a tough opponent and it just got to us in that game. But I think we had a great season and I loved my 4 years playing at Walton.
That was Keith who asked you about the one loss, Emery, by the way, just so we can straighten that out for the record. Nice job, KJ. Let's talk about the Florida State team as we're talking with Emery Dukes from the Florida State volleyball program. I mentioned it's a young team, six freshmen, part of the core of this team. And I think that's the youngest FSU's been since the late 90s. And yet you've got a coach who over the weekend just won his 200th ACC volleyball match, faster than any other volleyball coach in the history of the ACC. So Chris Poole's been doing some things for a while. For those who don't know, how would you describe his style, his personality, his coaching acumen?
Yeah, I mean, it's no denying that CP is a great coach and he truly cares about all of his players. And you can tell that when he's coaching. All of our coaches, Jordana and Jeff included, they all prepare us really well for each opponent that we're facing just by putting in hours of scouting and just getting us prepared and ready for each opponent that we're going to face, that so that we know there's no challenge that we can't overcome.
Now, Tommy, you're going to be fussing at me because I'm asking her these questions, but you got to know one thing. Emery and I, we're almost blood related. Because her favorite go-to food is watermelon, and I grew up growing and hauling watermelons.
Oh, I found my watermelon lover.
Yeah. So take that, Mr. Block.
All right, noted. Emery, let me ask you this: I have met your dad over the years. Now it's been a while, but some people would recognize his face. But he's been the Nike rep for Florida State, which has been a Nike school, I think I read, for 25 years. So for your whole life, your dad's been the Nike rep for FSU. Yeah. So I'm just curious, did you have anything in your closet growing up or dresser that didn't have a Nike swoosh on it?
Oh, no. You know, girls, they like Lululemon. I'm actually wearing Lululemon right now. Don't tell my dad, but... And that is the only thing I can buy with my own money. But if not, I can't. No Adidas has ever been on my body at all. No Under Armour, nothing. Lululemon is the only one, and I have to buy it with my own money. And other than that, no, I've never worn any other athletic gear besides Nike.
It sounds like you had to write a contract with your dad and put that in
the
fine
print. Yeah, pretty much. No, but no complaining, though. No complaining. I love Nike.
Oh, well, yeah. And I imagine, so is it true, like, you know, when the family goes on an outing, is everybody just all Nike'd up? Is that the way it's rolled for your whole life?
That's the way it's always been. And I'm not complaining about them. I love Nike gear. It looks great.
I think most of us would take the hookup on Nike. Keith, you're smirking. Yeah. You're smirking.
Well, I was just going to say, Mary, this... If you get an opportunity, you mentioned this to your dad. Mm-hmm. I wore a pair of Nike shoes when we played. It was either at LSU in a junior varsity game or when we played at Nebraska. And it was the old waffle shoe, which was what Nike used originally. They actually took the pattern of the shoe Mr. Knight took it from a waffle iron. And I wore a pair of the old waffle shoes.
Interesting.
I don't know if, I don't know if your dad will remember that, or I don't know if it means anything to him, but you mentioned that to him because you talked to somebody old enough to know what a waffle shoe is.
Okay. I'll mention it. I'm sure he will know.
And if you can't find anybody old enough, you can always talk again to KJ. We'll set that up for you. Emery Dupes from the FSU volleyball team. Thanks for joining us. Hey, good luck this weekend. You got a couple home matches this weekend, BC and Syracuse. And I know Tully can be a great atmosphere when you it gets loud in there and people are proud, as they should be, because there's a great Florida State volleyball history and heritage. So good luck this weekend and the rest of your freshman year and your FSU career.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Emery.
And we'll send you our address so your dad can send some Nike gear our way. Front Row Knowles continues right after this.
Hey, folks, Austin Hobson with Hobson Chevrolet Buick in Cairo, Georgia. You always hear us talking about the great deal you can get on a newer pre-owned vehicle, but what about parts and service? Call, come in, or schedule an appointment online, and our GM-certified service advisors, technicians, and parts advisors will be glad to help you. With 8 GM-certified technicians and 12 full-service bays, we'll get you in and out fast. So for great sales and service, come see us at Hobson Chevrolet or check us out at HobsonChevrolet.com.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your local independent Auto Owner's agent is the Earl Bacon Agency. Call us at 878-2121 or visit us on the web at earlbacon.com.
Front Row Knowles is presented by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way. And by the Earl Bacon Agency, ensuring your future together. Now back to Tom and Keith.
Back on Front Row Knowles, Tom and KJ back with you, and we'll bounce over to football in a minute. Keith, you know, just to finish up that story, there's probably worse lots in life than having your dad be at the Nike rep for a major Division I athletics power. I mean, she's probably had quite a bit of free swag over the years, and now she gets it as a Florida State volleyball player too. That's not a bad gig.
But as is the case appropriately, particularly on the female side, the youngsters today always want to have one little carve out, one little thing that they do on their own. So I felt that was real cute that she made sure and mentioned that the Lulu stuff she purchased with her own money. She didn't use any of dad's money to do that.
So true story in my household, Keith, just as long as we're on to Nike, and I think people listening to this show would get the big business of college athletics, to the point that you're not going to show up on the sideline wearing Under Armour if you're at a Nike school or Adidas, which is what she articulated. And a matter of fact, as I think about it, I think Trey Fisher got in some trouble at one point because he had something Under Armour on the sideline when Jimbo was coaching. Anyway, bringing it closer to home, my wife got me a nice garnet pullover to wear on the sideline. And I opened it up. I said, "Hun, this is great, but it's Under Armour. What do you think the odds are that as a member of the radio crew, I'm going to travel with the team and wear this on the sideline?" And she looked at me and said, "What's that got to do with any?" No, she didn't really. She understands athletics. But the point is, while I have worn it, I have not worn it when officially on team duty, so to speak.
Understood. I may have an item or two, but I got to the point over the years where I just didn't even go looking at anything else. So I had no cravings flung on me. I just wanted the swoosh stuff. That was what was important.
All right. So Florida State and its swoosh will head to Clemson this weekend. Let's go back to that, Keith, because there is a scenario where Florida State doesn't play very well this weekend because Clemson's pretty damn good. I know their offense has struggled. They may switch quarterbacks. They may find themselves. Even if they don't, they may score 24 points and Florida State scores 7. And on the one hand, that's better than we probably would have expected in July or August. On the other hand, it feels like that would derail the progress they've made of late. So, you know, trying not to be the homers that we are, how do you think this will play out? How realistic do you think Florida State's chances are?
I think the chances are realistic. By no means am I suggesting that I'm going to wager any significant money on it. But here's the thing, Tommy. the goal early in the season, and they accomplished it against Notre Dame, but not against Jacksonville State. They have accomplished it over the last couple, 3 weeks, is the optics that are involved. What you don't want to do is go up there and get beat 45-14 or 49-14, however much they lost last time they were up there. You want to make sure you stay in the ball game. You want to make sure you don't commit the silly mistakes and turn the ball over. You want to make sure that you play fundamentally sound, that you stick with the game plan. In other words, you want to continue the progress. If that means that you end up losing 24-7 or 24-14, that's fine in my book, as long as you executed what you practiced and what you intended to do. It's the outliers, both negative and positive. You know, I don't think it does Florida State any good if they go up there and somehow won 49-14. I don't think that would be a fluke. That would not be continued progress. You want to make sure you stick to what you've been doing and execute it correctly.
Hold on, Keith. I would take a 49-14 fluke that went in Florida State's favor, just for the record.
I didn't say I wouldn't take it. I would say that wouldn't accomplish much. I mean, it wouldn't. The players would go, the pendulum would go so far back the other way that you would lose all the continuity that you've developed over the last 3 weeks. That's my opinion.
Gotcha.
You follow me?
Gotcha. Well, in other words, you might be a little too big for your britches if you won
Correct.
By that score right now.
Correct.
We saw that after Notre Dame. Everybody was all excited about the progress in Notre Dame and then forgot to show up the next Saturday, right, against Jacksonville State.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you now. Hey, the basketball team, the men's team, is in action tomorrow night, a Thursday night game, exhibition game, 7 o'clock at the Tucker Center. Did you happen to notice what Scotty Barnes did the other night, by the way?
He had back-to-back double-doubles or either a double-double or a triple-double, something. He went off is what he did.
His second career game, he led the Raptors in points and rebounds in his second career game. Now, he's had too many turnovers, and he has hit a couple threes, and his free throw shooting has been better than it was at FSU. I think he's been around 70% to start his career instead of 60%, but they seem to be enamored with him. And for a guy that young in his career, I mean, if you follow the NBA experts, they're already, he's on the short list for NBA Rookie of the Year a week and a half into his NBA career. That's where Scotty Barnes is right now.
Well, we knew he was an exceptional talent. And more importantly, you know, Coach Hamm and Coach Jones and CY and everybody, Coach Smith, just raved on his work ethic and his attitude. And boy, you can go, I mean, he is gifted. There's no question. He is gifted. But taking that gift and maximizing it, he has as good a prospect of doing that as anybody that's come through this program.
Let's switch gears here real quick, Keith. Did you see the email earlier this week that came out from the ACC about the committee they've got that's working on relocating the league headquarters?
I think they decided, you know, Greensboro is nice, but let's see what else is out there. Was that how you read that?
Exactly. Well, so here's some parameters. Let's just make the decision now. The committee they have looking at this has decided that they're going to keep the ACC headquarters in the Eastern time zone, population size with positive growth trends. In other words, the city's getting bigger, not smaller. Large hub airport. So we've ruled out Tallahassee here, with accessibility to and from all ACC member schools. Financial considerations related to operational expenses, blah, blah, blah. So what city should we suggest? We got the whole Eastern Seaboard, basically.
It's going to be two cities. It's going to be Charlotte or Atlanta. Next question.
I think D.C.'s in the mix, too. But you've narrowed it down. So you think there's going to be pressure to stay in Charlotte?
I think there will be some, yes.
Yeah.
And I technically and honestly, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But I think Atlanta would score very much higher than Washington, D.C.
And I don't know that Atlanta would make the final list because the SEC seems to own Atlanta with its championship game every year. But it's certainly a major hub airport, and there is an ACC institution in that city in Georgia Tech, pretty close to downtown, as a matter of fact. I have said for years, Keith, you know this, if you're gonna do the ACC stuff in North Carolina, let's get it to Charlotte. And to be fair, they did put the baseball tournament in Charlotte last year and again this year, which is where it should have been. Instead, all those years they've been alternating Durham and Greensboro.
It's where the football championship game is played. I know from a basketball standpoint, I still support moving it around, but that doesn't mean that every other year it's in Greensboro. But I think Charlotte is your number one you know, without knowing any of the parameters, my pick would be Charlotte 1, Atlanta 2. DC would be down on the list.
And would Wildwood be in the running or no?
Wildwood would not be in the running because the combined square footage of available office space of all the buildings in Wildwood would not be enough for the ACC office.
How about Orlando, Keith? They could put the league headquarters right between their two favorite member institutions, Miami and Florida State.
Well, you know, as crazy as it sounds, you know, there's nothing that says you have to be in a city where you have a member institution. This is the conference office, and this is not the old days. So, you know, Orlando's not on my radar, but again, wouldn't shock me if it was considered.
It would shock me if it landed there, though. All right, back to the question that we hope we don't have to address. I asked you this on Sunday, but now a couple of days later. So we've got 3 minutes to go in the third quarter Saturday. Florida State's trailing 13-10, and suddenly Jordan Travis is not available for the next drive. And as you look, and coming out of the huddle from the TV timeout, is it Mackenzie Milton or Chuba Purdy who's trotting on the field with the rest of the offense?
In that given situation, it's Mackenzie Milton.
Well, thanks for following my big buildup with a really succinct, boring, short, non-explosive answer there.
Well, we talked about it, and I said the only time you use Mackenzie is when the game's on the line and you need that experience. Otherwise, you've got to go with Purdy. If you're up by three touchdowns or down by three touchdowns, you go with Purdy.
If you're up by three touchdowns at Clemson, I might still go with Milton and just make sure that we get the job done. But I hear you. I hear you. All that said, hopefully Jordan continues to stay healthy. It's fun to watch him play. Keith, we're out of time. Somehow we have enlightened people through another 60 minutes of their week. He's Keith.
Or we fooled them again, whichever way.
Yeah, and I'm Tom. Thanks for tuning in to Front Row Noles.